good evening and welcome back to Norwoodville Baptist Church. I'm going to welcome all of our special guests this evening. We have folks from Texas. Of course, you know Iowa is better than Texas. So, well, you know, you're outnumbered, so I was better than Texas, right? Y'all? Right, y'all? No? Eva? Oh, okay. Alright, well, I see how you are. Well, we'll have to duke it out later tonight then. Alright. Stephen asked me to step in for him. He had a little technical difficulty with his message for this evening, and so he had to head back home so that he could get his message because he left it there. And so he will be back momentarily. Fortunately, we were going to have kind of a singspiration as part of our service tonight anyway, so you can be taking the opportunity to flip through your hymnal and find some favorite hymns. We'll take some of those here in a moment, but to begin our evening tonight, we will open in a word of prayer. So shall we bow together? Our most gracious God and Father, we do thank you for the day that you have given to us today. Our Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather together as believers and to share with one another, to bear one another's burdens. Father, to worship you and in spirit and in truth. And Father, we thank you for the day that you have given to us today, an opportunity to live for you. Father, wherever we have failed you today, we ask that you would purge us from those sins, and Father, that you would help us to be in right relationship with you and be able to worship you as a result of that. Father, we do pray for our dear brother Steve tonight. I ask that you'll give him safety as he travels back up to Ankeny and back down here. Lord, too, we want to remember a couple of special requests. We do pray for our dear brother Bob. We know that he's not feeling well today. Lord, we ask that you would continue to lay your hand upon him, that you'll strengthen him and help him to have a sound testimony during this difficult hour. Father, too, we do pray for brother Chuck as he's struggling with his health needs. And Lord, we ask that you will give the family wisdom in regard to what is necessary as far as his health is concerned. And Lord, we do also pray for our pastor. Lord, we thank you for him. We thank you for his commitment to the Word. And we ask that you will give him a great time of rest and relaxation. And Lord, that he'll be recharged and ready to join back in the work again after his vacation. Father, we do thank you again for the day that you've given to us. It is in your Son's name that we do pray. Amen. We'll invite you to take your hymnals and turn to hymn number 203. We're going to begin there this evening. Give you a moment to get your voices together. Hymn number 203, and we'll stand together and we'll sing, "And Can It Be?" and you may be seated. And thank you for your wonderful singing. There's a lot of variations in that song, and lots of some good high ones too. So y'all were out it. You had it going today. All right, we'll take some favorites now, and I know what you're going to pick, Amy. So we're not going to choose you, Eva. 297. All right. Now, of course, you know the caveat to all singspirations, right? If the song leader doesn't know it, you have to come up and lead it. Okay. I know this one. I love to tell the story. 297. On the first now. I love to tell the story of choice, Eva. Also, I'll give you the opportunity, just a second, I'm coming. If you don't have a favorite hymn, if you have, because we're trying to fill time here, if you have a favorite scripture that you'd like to share, you feel free to do that as well. All right? Joy?
First of all, I want to tell you guys that Charles Randolph is already in the nursing home.
Okay, is he in Sunnyview?
Sunnyview.
Okay.
And I don't know if it's permanent or not, or what they're going to do, but he had a very bad night last night. Trying to get out of his bed and
leave. Okay.
And my favorite hymn is 56.
56, huh? Okay, so let's remember to pray for Chuck Randles. He is up in Sunnyview in Ankeny. And so we do remember to pray for him. We're going to go to number 56. 56. 56. Day by day and with each passing moment. Amen. All right, I saw a hand. Ron, right here. 553 in the sweet by and by. 553 sing that song, right? Oh, the sweet pie and pie we shall eat on that beautiful shore. Yes, sweet apple pie, sweet pumpkin pie, sweet pecan pie. All right. In the sweet by and by. All right. Another favorite or scripture or testimony that someone would like to share? Yes, Miss Verba.
Hey, it's going to be page 332. The song is Without Him. That is a testimony of my life for the last 70 years. No, I'm not quite that long. But without Christ in your life, you can do nothing.
That's right. Praise the Lord.
You just haven't got it. And the words for this are so precious. I don't even know if I can say it. I love to hear it played and so on. But it's wonderful. And I know that Bob is standing on that promise right now. I know Bob is too. And Betty and all of us that have all this stuff in our life. We can't do anything without Christ.
Amen.
It's hard then, but it will happen.
Amen.
It too will pass. I thank God for this church. I thank God for this young man sitting beside me. It's making me feel younger every day.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. He's getting older, I'm getting younger. It's not a lot. But I appreciate this church. I love the people in here. I love God more than anything. Without Him, I can't do nothing.
That's a wonderful testimony. Thank you, Verba. 332, Without Him.
Without a sail.
song. All right, I've heard that, but I don't think I've ever directed that one before. Thank you forever for that wonderful opportunity and great testimony. Appreciate that. That's so very true. All right, anybody else? Another favorite? Right here. I'm sorry? 116. Do y'all need a chance to stretch yet? You know, we're still okay? You're frozen in your spots, huh? The air conditioning was turned down. Take the name of Jesus with you. 116. Is there another favorite? If not, I'll insert. You're thumbing through. Mike. 399. Higher ground. Amen. This is actually one of my life verses. I know it is for Mike too, and I know why this song is special for Mike. You'll have to ask him about that. It's a wonderful experience he had. Let's press on to higher ground, shall we? I'm pressing on. Upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day.
Yeah.
All right. Vion has a favorite. I saw fingers pointing at Vion. I saw fingers pointing at Vion that she has a favorite. It was Joy primarily. Oh, what are you trying to sneak your favorites in through here?
I know this is her favorite.
Oh, okay. Where are we going now?
398.
398, just right across the page? Hey, you don't even have to make any turns. Fill my cup, Lord. Of the hour is back, but now he's going upstairs for some reason, so we still need to stall. So we'll take one more favorite. Oh man, now I have to choose because I've got Betty raising her hand and my boy and my wife. Betty? No. Because they can always sing some other time. What you got, Betty?
The Love of God, page 67.
Let's see if I know this one. Better than that last one, hopefully.
No, that's myself.
No, that was me. All right, the love of God. So since Steve's back, we'll be probably getting to have to endure sitting for a long period of time here. So let's stand together. Give you a moment to stretch a little bit too. Page 67. thank you. You may be seated. And our preacher must still be in there printing his notes. So,
let me say a word, brother.
All right.
That song, Higher Ground, that was my dad's favorite song. And as we sing these old gospel songs, they're a real blessing.
Amen.
And aren't you thankful for those that write gospel songs?
Amen.
And the songwriters wrote a song, How Big Is God? And the answer was, He's big enough to rule this mighty universe and small enough to live in our hearts.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, brother. Wonderful testimony. All right, so now I have to choose between my wife and my son. Thanks a lot, Betty. So, my wife it is. Because I know on which side my bread is buttered.
43.
Great is thy faithfulness. Stanza. We have the organ and the piano drop out, and we will sing the refrain, the chorus, a cappella. I was privileged many, many years ago, many moons ago now, and along with several others that are even still around here, to be part of the church plant at in Grimes, Maranatha Baptist Church. And this was the theme song for that church. And before they had buildings, before they had all the different things, this was the song that Dr. John Hartog II led the church to use as their theme song. And so I got to hear this song almost every Sunday. And it drove home a very important truth in my own heart. And that is that God is far and away more faithful than I am. Isn't that true? And not only is He far and away more faithful than I am, but He's far and away more faithful than I can even understand. Yet, no matter what I do, no matter how far I wander, no matter whatever is in my heart, God still remains faithful. Even in all those difficult, even all those dark times, whatever they may be, God is faithful. And that is a vital, important truth for each and every one of us as believers. So we'll sing the third, and then on the chorus, the refrain, the instruments will drop out, and this will be our final song because Steve's getting himself wired up back there. All right? All right, here we go.
Pardon for sin and a peace that my own dear presence to cheer and
Jesus. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Thank you for your participation. A wonderful time of celebration and worship tonight. And without further ado, or stalling, Brother Steve, did you figure out how to turn that on?
That's not on yet.
Okay, I'm going to raise that up a little bit on top.
You think I'm quiet, don't you?
Okay.
I think it's on now. Is that loud enough? Higher? How's church tonight? There was a Catholic priest and a Baptist preacher and a Jewish rabbi once, all in a boat, fishing, in fact. The Catholic priest decided he was hungry and needed a Snickers bar, and so he promptly stepped over the edge of the boat, walked across the lake, all the way down to the edge of the shore there where the service station was, and he got himself a Snicker bar and walked his way back out to the boat and continued fishing. A few minutes later, the Baptist preacher decided that he was hungry as well, and so he decided he wanted a hamburger. So he promptly stepped over the boat, walked the yards across the water to the shore, where he got to the nearest Burger King and got himself a burger, got in a little sack, and then he came and walked out back to the boat and got back in and continued fishing. Well, the Jewish rabbi wasn't going to be outdone, so he kind of looked at both of them and decided he was hungry as well. So he said, I'm going to go get some potato chips. And so he promptly lifted his leg over the boat, stepped down, and almost drowned. As the two Christian ministers were trying to save him, the Baptist preacher turned to the Catholic priest and said, maybe we should show them where the stepping stones are. That was for free. I'm sure by now you all know why I wasn't here until 5 minutes ago, but that's all right. We're here now. The devil probably doesn't want us to hear what the Word of God has to say tonight. I don't expect it to be very long, but those are famous last words. So let's pray that the Lord will be here among us as the Word goes out, and then we'll continue from there. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you very much that your Word is sharp and active, Father, that is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. I pray now that that would be what goes out tonight, Lord, that in everything you would be honored and glorified. Father, let the speech that comes from my mouth be subject to your Holy Spirit, and may it be constrained to only the content by which these people in their hearts would be edified. Father, I pray that you would even change us now, Lord, that we would be confronted by your word and decide not to leave this place in the same condition that we arrived. Thank you, Lord, that you have promised such great things and that we have so great a salvation in your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. All right, I think by now you're all looking at those handouts in front of you. I have the wandering mic, don't I? I think by now you're all looking at those handouts in front of you. And actually, I'll tell you what, this is way too... This is a more intimate type of sermon, so we're going to make it a more intimate setting. Just keep me from reverbing, DJ. Alright, how am I doing spiritually? The first thing we're going to do tonight is you're going to look up on there, on the top, and it should have a little graph, 1 through 10. And I want you can hide this, but you have to put it down. If you're here tonight, you're either going to walk out now or you have to stay and hold your peace. Everybody here needs, you all have a pen and paper in front of you, have the handout and everything. I want you to put down how you think you're doing spiritually. Now, you don't have to show your neighbor. This is just for yourself. This is just a tool for you to come to grips, for you to think about how you're doing spiritually. I know for myself, I often go months without thinking to myself, how am I doing spiritually? Really thinking about the fact that I need to be growing in Christ. And at the same time, I need to be growing in Him, but at the same time I forget that I have to be working toward that, that I have to work out my own salvation in fear and trembling. And so think to yourself, how are you doing spiritually? You know, by whatever factors. Yes, do we have a question?
The Lord tells me, I don't tell anybody else, and the song that you sing and play, more of you. That's what He keeps telling me. So I couldn't put a 10 down there, no.
You could put a 10 down? If you want to put a 10 down, put a 10 down.
No, I wouldn't. The Lord, I need more of Him. I need more of Him.
It's true. You couldn't put a 10 down? You're saying you couldn't put a 10 down?
No.
I'm sorry. Didn't mean to mischaracterize you. No, but this isn't for you to look at and say, you know, what have I attained? Christ has obviously completed our salvation. I'm going to give justification in a minute for this, for what's going to come afterward. But just think to yourself thoughtfully. I know one time, I'll tell you a story. Maybe this will help you out. The first time I heard this is actually not my idea. My former pastor does this every 6 months with his church, and it was always so helpful for me because it stopped me in my tracks and made me think about what I need to be doing better to serve Christ and to become more like His Son. And so when he first preached this, we were actually at camp, and I happened to be sitting behind the senior pastor. The pastor who was preaching was actually my youth pastor at the time. And I was sitting behind the senior pastor of the church I was a member at, and I, not knowing what to do, because I was kind of flabbergasted by somebody actually saying, rate yourself spiritually on a graph, as you may perhaps are feeling the same way right now. So I was wondering what to do, and I saw my pastor in front of me, he put himself down as a 7. And so I thought to myself, well, I can't be a spiritualist pastor. So I better put something lower than that. But it's not about that. It's really arbitrary. It's just for you. Take a look. If you think to yourself, be honest with yourself. Say, you know what? I have really been mediocre and borderline. Then give yourself a 5, a 5.5 if you want. It doesn't matter to me. But all I'm saying is, take a look. Think within yourself about how faithful you've been in serving the Lord over the last few weeks. Think to yourself the things I could do better. Think to yourself the things I have done. This isn't an inventory to pat yourself on the back and say, well, I've done very much. But it's just an opportunity for you to look. And in a minute, we're going to talk about even doing better. So it's just a tool. It's not anything but that. It's just to get us thinking. So just put something down. We're going to go from there. I know I always hated it when he preached this sermon because we'd get to it. I always be thinking because I knew he did it every 6 months. He did it every 6 months. I knew it was coming. And every time it came, I'd think to myself, man, there are all these things I could have been working on, but I just neglected. Even though I knew this sermon was coming, I was still greatly lacking. And maybe the question you're having in your minds now that you have something down, hopefully, you're thinking to yourself, well, isn't this legalism? Aren't what we're talking about here just works? Are we listing all the works that we've done that make us better Christians? Is that the point here? I want you to turn to James 2 quickly. Martin Luther, the great reformer, actually hated James. He didn't even think it should have been in the Bible. He absolutely disliked it. And the very reason is because of the problem that we still struggle today with James. It's in James 2 that we're going. How he deals with works. So why don't we read? I'm going to read with you James 2, verses 14 through 26. What good is it, my brothers? Follow along whatever translation you have. I have the English Standard Version. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You see a pattern here? You believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way. For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. And so I'm sure if you've been in a Baptist or a Bible preaching church for any number of years, you've heard how this works. I mean, you've heard how this passage harmonizes with the rest of the Bible, because after all, in Ephesians 2:8-9, does it say, by grace we are saved through faith, it is not of ourselves, not of works, it is a gift of God, lest anyone should boast? The Bible's in opposition with itself, right? What's going on here is that Paul was talking about justification, our inward self. We are saved only by the finished work of Jesus Christ, by His grace that He accomplished on the cross, and that we now believe in faith. That is how we are saved. It is not by works. Absolutely not. You'll never hear me say that. But what it's talking about is much, and I think it's even, you could say, an accompanying passage to this is Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit. It talks about how if you're a spiritual person, if you're spiritually alive in Christ today, if you have trusted Jesus Christ by faith and by grace alone, you will be growing spiritual fruit. And that's what James is talking about here. He's saying, I have faith. He's saying to his readers are saying to him, we have faith. We don't need works. We have faith. But James says, you can show me your faith that way, but I'll show you my faith by my works. So there is an element of the Christian life where you have to do something. The fact that you're saved will have an outpouring of works, not the other way around. Every other religion in the world has it the other way, that your works will produce grace. True faith produces works. Are we clear on that? Does that make sense? Is it jiving? So the first thing we'll move on to, this is actually an illustration. You think of a defiant child. I'm sure you've heard this story before. Child comes in the house for dinner. Mom says, sit down. Sit down and eat. Child says, I don't want to. I was playing with Bobby. Mom says, you're going to sit down and eat. Child says, no, I want to go out and play with Bobby. Mom, perhaps even forcefully, has to put child in chair. Child sits in chair and says, I might be sitting on the outside, but I'm standing on the inside. And it's really the other way around with us. Think about this. The child wanted to be standing. Inside, the child was standing. And this is actually, that was a great illustration, an opposite illustration, of grace, of your faith in Christ and justification. Because even though the child was sitting down, truly he believed that he wanted to be standing. Conversely, what we should be doing, not in rebellion, but we should be standing, we should both be sitting and being obedient, both in spirit and in physical action. Amen? Not only should we be sitting, not only should we be sitting and being obedient, but in inward rebellion, rebellion, or even inward passivity. I think that's the word, passivity. But we should also be sitting in obedience, willing to do whatever our Mother, our Heavenly Father, tells us to do. So these are just a few things. We're going to go down this, maybe if you want to call it a checklist, things that I think the Bible is clear on, that without these things, our faith is dead. And this 8 up 10 minutes in introduction, that's not a good sign. All right, number one. Are you genuinely saved? Now, this is a prerequisite to all the rest. This one's a little different than the rest. Are you genuinely saved? Let's go to John 14:6. We covered John 3:16 this morning pretty well, so I think we'll leave that one alone. We'll let it speak for itself. But John 14:6, let's hurry now. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." How many ways are there to be saved? One, and it's through whom? Jesus Christ. And we talked about this morning, Dan Lamgo very eloquently talked about this morning, that this is the truth, and it's there for all to see and believe. And if you reject it, you're rejecting the truth. The question tonight is, are you genuinely saved? Now, I mean, I have friends. I had a friend even who, she was baptized when she was like 8. But she came to be about 14, 15, and she realized she wasn't saved. Now, I don't want you to question your salvation tonight. And I know a lot of you, and I know that you are. You have seen your fruit already. But you have to question yourself before this. Before the rest of these prerequisites, are you genuinely saved? And if you are, then we can move on from there. But if you're not, it's like being dead. It's like, even Dan used the illustration this morning of being in a dark room and not knowing how to get out, not having a flashlight. You don't even have a flashlight. You need to find somebody with a flashlight. It's like going up to a dead person. My grandfather passed away a few years ago. And I was actually, right before they were going to close the casket for the last time, I was actually up front with my, well then, girlfriend. This is my wife over here. And we were playing a prelude up front for my grandfather's funeral, and they were about to close the casket. And as we finished and we were walking off the platform, my cousin came up to me and said, "They're going to close Grandpa's casket. Would you like to see him one last time?" And I decided that it wasn't important for me to see him, to run quickly and see him, because he wasn't there. That was just his body. Grandpa was dead. And if you've ever seen, and I'm sure you have at a funeral, I don't mean any disrespect, but if you wave your hand over the top of them, they aren't going to react. If you snap your finger in your ear, they're not going to react. They're not going to wake up. If that happens to you, call a doctor. But they're dead. They're not coming back. Not in this life. They're gone. They're not going to wake up. That's how you are. You're spiritually dead if you have not trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. So that's number one. That's prerequisite. So yes or no. Put it down on your sheet. Yes or no. Are you genuinely saved? And if so, we can move on from there. Number two. Do you study the Bible consistently? Now you're going to say, "Well, Stephen, I mean, what's consistently?" Well, decide for yourselves. This is really arbitrary. This is your problem. This is between you, yourself, and the Lord. I want you to decide between you and Him what you think is a consistent amount. You know, a couple times a week, every day. What do you think His standard for you is? There is no standard in the Bible which says you have to wake up every morning and before sunrise you need to read your psalm and in the evening read your proverb. There is nothing in the Bible like that. But do you read your Bible consistently? If you haven't read your Bible at all in the last week, that's not enough. I guarantee it. Okay? Let's take a look at what the Bible says about reading the Bible, about knowing His Word. Let's go to Jeremiah 15:16. Jeremiah, it's right before Lamentations. Jeremiah 15:16 It's on page 779.
Jeremiah 15.
15, yep. 15:16. Now we're trying to blaze through here, so it says in that verse, "Your words were found, and I ate them up, and your words became a joy. Your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. Your words were found, and I ate them up." The prophet here is realizing that, see, back in those days, the prophets were a special institution by God. See, the people of Israel, God's chosen people, they didn't have the whole canon of Scripture. They didn't have all of the Bible. Not yet. They had to rely on the prophets to tell them the word of the Lord as it was revealed. That's why it's called revelation. They needed to know what to do next as the prophets told them what to do. And Jeremiah, the prophet, is saying, "When your words were found, I ate them up. They were delicious." It's like this afternoon when my wife cooked up the stew. It was taco. It was really good. And it was delicious. And the jello. The jello was really good too. But I saw that food and I ate it up because it was good. It was delicious. If you've ever been to Noah's Ark downtown, what are they known for? How many of you have been there before? Known for pizza. I heard pizza somewhere. That's good pizza, isn't it? You go there and you're like, "I want to have pizza." Your mouth starts to water just thinking about it. I see it. I see it drooling. That's what the prophet said about God's word. That's what Jeremiah thought. He thought God's word was so delicious that whenever I found it, whenever I could be found, whenever I could get my hands on it, whenever its sweet sound would come upon my ear, it was delicious to me. Is that true in your life? Can you not wait till the next time to crack open your Bible? And by the way, we don't have to wait for the word of the Lord to come to us. Unless you're little Johnny, somebody throws your Bible at you. You can go straight to it, and right here is God's word. You can talk directly to Him. He will talk directly to you through His written word. It is finished. It is complete. It is there for us to read. It is there for edification. All Scripture is inspired by God so that the man of God may be complete for every good work. Are you studying your Bible consistently? Number three, do you pray often and fervently? By the way, you can put yes or no for do you study your Bible consistently. Do you pray often and fervently? 1 Thessalonians 5:17, since we're in a hurry, we won't go there. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, "Pray without ceasing." Pray without ceasing. Now, what does this mean? It doesn't mean that if you stop praying, you've been sinful for any moment. What it does mean is that you've been in constant communion with Christ, with God, in prayer. You have, if you are saved, if you check yes at the top of the page and you're saved, you have God's Holy Spirit living within you. He is right there. He just wants to hear from you. One author said that when we go to God in prayer, we're sitting at His feet, we're in His throne, we're before Him, the God of the universe, who holds all of the universe together by His mighty right hand. And not only that, but we're sitting before Him at His feet. And while we pray, His Spirit and who He is overlaid onto our hearts. I love that illustration. Because when we're before Him in prayer, seeking Him out, He's there, and He is showing Himself to us and who He is. He speaks to us through His Word, gives us an accurate picture of who He is. And then our hearts and our spirits, we can go to Him in communion, in prayer. Do you realize that when you pray, when you get down on your knees, when you go to Him in your spirit, in prayer before Him, that you are literally before God? That He is listening to you, and that He, as you're in His presence, you are seeing who He is. You cannot have a relationship with somebody unless you talk to them. I'll guarantee it right now. I didn't get to know my wife by looking at her across in chapel at school. I got to know her because she was the flutist sitting next to me in band, and I talked to her, and I wasn't the most disciplined, so I would talk while Dr. Darkey would be talking, or I'd be talking, or I'd make snide remarks while the trumpets were loud, or whatever. I got to know my wife because I talked to her. How many people do you know that you've never talked to? Yeah. I know you guys know this, it's obvious, but it's important to think about. God, you know God. We need to be talking to Him. Do you pray often and fervently? You can check yes or no. Yes or no. And I remind you, this is between you and God. You say, well, I prayed every day this week. Well, you're not. Don't argue with me. Tell it to Christ. If you think that Christ is happy with you praying to Him for that long every week, then good, put yes. But if you haven't prayed at all, I'm putting no right now. Okay, but if you think Christ has been, if you have, if you think between you and Him that even praying once a day has been enough, that praying whenever it comes to mind has been enough, then put yes. This is between you and Him. It's pretty arbitrary. It's not for me to decide because I don't know your heart. Only God knows your heart. Yes or no? Number four, do you love fellow believers? 1 John, let's go to 1 John 1, 9 through 11 quickly here. First John 1, 9 through 11. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is not the passage at all. Sorry, it should actually be chapter 2, verse 7. I'll start in chapter 2, verse 7 and go from there. So just should be the page over, column over. 1 John 2:7, Beloved, I am writing you a new commandment. Not a new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in Him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Verse 9, whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness. It does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. The author is very clear here, very, very clear. Do you love your fellow Christians? When you come to church, in fact, when you come to church, when you are around during the week living your life, you think to yourself, man, I miss Joy. I miss seeing my sister in Christ. Ron, I haven't seen all week. I haven't heard how he's doing. I need to talk to him. Do you love the brethren? I don't just mean your friends. I don't just mean you go to church and there's your wife and you're happy to see your wife, your sister in Christ here. No, you like your wife. I'm talking about, do you like Joe? Because Joe is your brother in Christ. Do you have the love of Christ in you so that you can love Joe, even if you hate his guts? On a personal level, I like Joe, just as a disclaimer. But is the love of Christ in you, and the fact that He is one in Christ as well, that you're all in one body, does that give you an affection for Joe? Have you fostered that affection for the brethren? John says, First John here says that whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in darkness. You cannot be spiritual if you do not love the brethren. So put a yes or no. Do you love the brethren? Do you love other Christians? Is that a hallmark of your life? Yes or no, between you and the Lord. All right, number five. Do you give liberally and joyously? Do you give liberally and joyously? I know this is a dangerous one because this one really hurts our American mindset. Let's turn to now 2 Corinthians 8:15. This passage really convicted me as I read it. Actually, I was talking to my father-in-law as we've been... many people were very generous to my wife and I as we got married. They gave us so many things, many of those things even you gave us, and we are well equipped for life now, and maybe three or four. But my father-in-law, he was talking, and he has a great deal many more things than I do because he's had more time to accumulate. But he came and he's like seeing all the stuff that we're getting. He's like, man, all this stuff, what do you do with this stuff? It's just the way of our life to accumulate stuff. How many rooms do you have with closets just full of stuff that you don't even use anymore? I mean, that's almost beside the point, but it's just a demonstration of the mindset we have. We are so wealthy that we have probably hundreds of things, each of us, that we don't even use anymore. It's amazing. But let's see, what did the Macedonian believers do? Let's look in 2 Corinthians 8 and start in verse 15. Sorry, I don't know what happened. This is already
9:7.
Thank you. All right, 2 Corinthians 9:7. Each one must give as he has made up his mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. The passage I was actually looking for, side note, was about the Macedonian believers, and I mentioned it before, about the Macedonian believers who Paul commended to the Corinthian church. He said that they gave out of their means and even beyond their means. Now, I think about myself, and this is myself, and you can think to yourself. I'm probably not going to get to the point where I give beyond my means. It's going to be hard. We are so wealthy here that it would be hard even for me to give beyond my means. I mean, there are so many ways in which we're wealthy. We have so many possessions. Most of us, as far as I can tell, have a steady, good income where we could even a lot of times lose a paycheck. And yeah, it would be hard. We might not be able to take a vacation. We may not be able to do something that we want to do or buy something that we've wanted to buy. But we'd survive. We'd make it. The Macedonians, they gave beyond their means. They were struggling under persecution, and yet they wanted to give to the people in Jerusalem, the Christians in Jerusalem, who were struggling more than they were even. They decided out of it. Now, I'm not saying that we need to spend ourselves, give ourselves into poverty here. But between you and the Lord, Yes or no? Have I been giving liberally and joyously? It's not even necessarily an amount thing. It's not necessarily the amount, whether it's $100, $200, $10,000. Remember Jesus talking about the woman in the temple, the widow woman? There were princes pouring money into the treasure troves of the temple. Pouring money. And the little widow came with her two coins and dropped them in. Dropped them in. And Jesus, being God, knowing all things, turned to his disciples because this was the lesson he wanted them to get. It wasn't about how much you gave, because the disciples were incredibly impressed by the amount of wealth that these princes were giving of themselves into the temple treasure trove. But Jesus says it wasn't about how much they were giving, because that widow gave more than them all, because she gave out of her poverty with all she had, because for her to do that meant that her heart was in it. It meant that it was an act of worship for her. It meant that she was trusting the Lord for her next meal because she wanted to demonstrate what she had was His. Is that how you give? Whether it's a dollar or $100 or $10,000. Is that the spirit in which you give? Yes or no? And finally, as we're 15 minutes over tonight, are you self-controlled? Are you self-controlled? Titus 2:2-6. Titus 2:2-6. Just read it quickly. Older men, be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled. Now, do you find yourself in any of those groups? I see I'm looking at all the women here, and they all look to be young women. And it looks like the guys are evenly split. But if you notice, it doesn't matter what group you belong to. The command is to be self-controlled. Along with that, if you go to James 3, we're not going to take the time to do that. If you go to James 3, it talks about our tongue. There's an issue of self-control. It says that the tongue, in very eloquent terms, is like a ship's rudder. It's a very small part of the ship. Very small. And yet it steers the whole thing. It says that it's like a flame of fire. One little spark from it can set a whole country ablaze. But it also says that one who controls his tongue is able to control his whole body, that he's completely self-controlled. So at the heart of the issue is, can you keep your mouth shut? I'm not saying you've never slipped. Don't think of this as a watershed moment, well it might be, where each of these you're going across and, oh man, this week there was one time when I talked about somebody behind their back. Or, you know what, when I put my check in the offering plate, I was not absolutely thinking about how I was giving to the Lord. Or when I prayed there, I only prayed two times this week, or whatever. The point is, are you growing in these areas? Are these areas in which you are flourishing, in which you're growing? You're growing off the vine of Christ. And so that in each of these areas, you're becoming to look more like Him. I think, as I've done this before, there have been some that I have had peace about checking yes. Not because I'm as good as anybody in the world, not because I pray as much as Pastor Kramer, because I'm sure I don't. But there are times when I've done this sermon, like I said, I've done it many times because my pastor has to do it every 6 months. There are times when I said, yeah, I think that prayer has been a strong and prevalent in my life, and I'm at peace with Christ to say, yes, I'm okay with that one. But often, I come to them and I say, man, I have not even been faithful in tithing this last couple months. I can't check yes on that. So the point here is not, I don't want you to make you out to have to be super spiritual Christians, but I do want you to be growing Christians, and Christ wants you to be growing Christians, and Christ demands it because he says the fruit of the Spirit. Now, if we're saved, we're of the Spirit. And if we're of that vine of Christ, we are made of spiritual things, we have been indwelled with God's Holy Spirit. We should be having a fruition, a fruit of that Spirit. Faith without works is dead. How can that save you? Basically, the heart of the issue is, if you're saved, act like it. But I really wanted to share this with you tonight. Because for me, it was always, I mean, even this week as I've been looking over this and going through this and thinking again about, do I read my Bible consistently? Do I pray fervently? And I realize I've forgotten, I'll make my confession, I've forgotten with all of the busyness I've been through the last months, I've forgotten how amazing it is to be before God in prayer often. But I remember now, because I had this moment when I realized, no, I haven't been praying consistently, fervently and consistently. But now I am, and it is great. So much better. God's words come alive in His Word. I'm sure you find the same thing. I don't need to keep confessing my shortfalls. But take a look over this. I hope this has been helpful to you. Like I said, you don't have to share this with anybody. I mean, it's rather arbitrary. I mean, I can go over and take a look at I won't. I can go over and take a look at Dave's and say, well, he could write down why he hasn't been reading his Bible consistently. And I could know for a fact that he's reading it more than me, and I could still say yes. So this is between you and the Lord. Don't take it any other way. But if you're be at peace with saying yes to those things that you're at peace with between you and the Lord. But those things that say no on your sheet, take a look at those this week. Be in prayer with the Lord how you can improve those things. And do it. Become spiritual in every sense. Let your works show your faith. We don't hear sermons like that a lot. But it's still true. It's neglected, I think. Not so that we can see those works, but so that we can see, but so that you can see, and you can know, and you can have an intimate, wonderful relationship with your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, with God. It's a sweet thing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I know that even tonight, there are many things that I need to work on, Lord, that as this sheet, we look over it, as I look over it, I know that there are things I need to improve, that I need to grow in, Lord, that I need to be better at, even at this stage in my young life. So, Lord, I pray that tomorrow as I wake up, I would not neglect them, but, Lord, I would realize the sweetness again of being fervent in the Spirit. Lord, of wanting to be so close to You that I would give up whatever is in my busy schedule to read Your Word, to understand it, to know it, to wish to know it better. Father, to be in prayer to You, to know You, to be before You more often. Lord, whatever it may be, Lord, I pray that in each of our heart will be now a desire to know You better, to have a deeper, intimate relationship with You. Father, to before any other human relationship, to to be growing in our relationship with you, Father, to be willing to do what needs to be done so that our faith may be worked out in fear and trembling. Thank you, Lord, that you give us these opportunities and that these faithful people have come to hear your word, Lord, because they wish to know you better. Lord, I pray that this church would grow mightily, not in numbers, but in spirit, Lord. That we would see within our hearts the need to show our full devotion to you and you alone. Lord, I pray that nobody would leave here thinking that they need to do X number of things to be spiritual, or they need to do X number of things to show how spiritual they are. But Lord, that this would be a checkpoint in their lives so that we can see how we can do better to worship you better in every action and every deed. In Jesus' name, amen. Take those blue songbooks. Let's just sing the first stanza. Appreciate it, and I pray that it was helpful, and you have a blessed week. Thank you so much for being here. Well, thank you.
Yeah, it was.
Praise the Lord. Well, hopefully I have my notes next time that I do preach it.